You are listening to Hubble Audio's production of Dark Night of the Soul by St. John of the Cross. This book is read by Michael Kramer. This book is 106 pages long and is divided into 39 chapters. This recording was produced in 2007 by Hubble Audio, which owns the copyright. No portion of this recording may be reproduced for any reason without prior written consent from Hubble Audio. Copyright 2007 Hubble Audio Incorporated. All rights reserved. Please visit www.hubbleaudio.com and www.christianaudio.com to offer your impressions of this work and to explore additional titles. Dark Night of the Soul. Introduction. Somewhat reluctantly, out of respect for a venerable tradition, we publish The Dark Night as a separate treatise, though in reality it is a continuation of the Ascent of Mount Carmel, and fulfills the undertakings given in it. The first night, or purgation, is of the sensual part of the soul, which is treated in the present stanza, and will be treated in the first part of this book. And the second is of the spiritual part. Of this speaks the second stanza, which follows. And of this we shall treat likewise in the second and the third part, with respect to the activity of the soul, and in the fourth part, with respect to its passivity. This fourth part is the Dark Night. Of it the saint writes in a passage which follows that just quoted, "And the second night, or purification, pertains to those who are already proficient, occurring at the time when God desires to bring them to the state of union with God. And this latter night is a more obscure and dark and terrible purgation, as we shall say afterwards." In his three earlier books, he has written of the active night, of sense and of spirit. He now proposes to deal with the passive night in the same order. He has already taught us how we are to deny and purify ourselves with the ordinary help of grace in order to prepare our senses and faculties for union with God through love. He now proceeds to explain, with an arresting freshness, how these same senses and faculties are purged and purified by God with a view to the same end, that of union. The combined description of the two nights completes the presentation of active and passive purgation, to which the saint limits himself in these treatises, although the subject of the stanzas which he is glossing is a much wider one, comprising the whole of the mystical life, and ending only with the divine embraces of the soul transformed in God through love. The stanzas expounded by the saint are taken from the same poem in the two treatises. The commentary upon the second, however, is very different from that upon the first, for it assumes a much more advanced state of development. The active night has left the senses and faculties well prepared, though not completely prepared, for the reception of divine influences and illuminations in greater abundance than before. The saint here postulates a principle of dogmatic theology, that by himself, and with the ordinary aid of grace, man cannot attain to that degree of purgation which is essential to his transformation in God. He needs divine aid more abundantly. "However greatly the soul itself labors," writes the saint, "it cannot actively purify itself so as to be in the least degree prepared for the divine union of perfection of love, if God takes not its hand and purges it not in that dark fire." The passive nights, in which it is God who accomplishes the purgation, are based upon this incapacity. Souls begin to enter this dark night when God draws them forth from the state of beginners, which is the state of those that meditate on the spiritual road, and begins to set them in the state of progressives, which is that of those who are already contemplatives, to the end that, after passing through it, they may arrive at the state of the perfect, which is that of the divine union of the soul with God. Before explaining the nature and effects of this passive night, the saint touches, in passing, upon certain imperfections found in those who are about to enter it, and which it removes by the process of purgation. Such travelers are still untried proficients, who have not yet acquired mature habits of spirituality, and who therefore still conduct themselves as children. The imperfections are examined one by one, following the order of the seven deadly sins, in chapters 2 through 8, which once more reveal the author's skill as a director of souls. They are easy chapters to understand, and of great practical utility, comparable to those in the first book of the Ascent, which deal with the active purgation of the desires of sense. In Chapter 8, St. John of the Cross begins to describe the passive night of the senses, the principal aim of which is the purgation or stripping of the soul of its imperfections, and the preparation of it for fruit of union. The passive night of sense, we are told, is common, and comes to many, whereas that of spirit is the portion of very few. The one is bitter and terrible, but the second bears no comparison with it, for it is horrible and awful to the spirit. A good deal of literature on the former night existed in the time of St. John of the Cross, and he therefore promises to be brief in his treatment of it. Of the latter, on the other hand, he will treat more fully, since very little has been said of this, either in speech or in writing, and very little is known of it, even by experience. Having described this passive night of sense in Chapter 8, he explains with great insight and discernment how it may be recognized whether any given aridity is a result of this night, or whether it comes from sins or imperfections, or from frailty or lukewarmness of spirit, or even from indisposition or humors of the body. The saint is particularly effective here, and we may once more compare this chapter with a similar one in the Ascent, 2, Chapter 8, that in which he fixes the point where the soul may abandon discursive meditation and enter the contemplation which belongs to loving and simple faith. Both these chapters have contributed to the reputation of St. John of the Cross as a consummate spiritual master, and this not only for the objective value of his observations, but because, even in spite of himself, he betrays the sublimity of his own mystical experiences. Once more, too, we may admire the crystalline transparency of his teaching and the precision of the phrases in which he clothes it. To judge by his language alone, one might suppose at times that he is speaking of mathematical rather than of spiritual operations. In Chapter 10, the saint describes the discipline which the soul on this dark night must impose upon itself. This, as might be logically deduced from the Ascent, consists in allowing the soul to remain in peace and quietness, content, with a peaceful and loving attentiveness toward God. Before long it will experience enkindlings of love, Chapter 11, which will serve to purify its sins and imperfections and draw it gradually nearer to God. We have here, as it were, so many stages of the ascent of the mount on whose summit the soul attains to transforming union. Chapters 12 and 13 detail with great exactness the benefits that the soul receives from this aridity, while Chapter 14 briefly expounds the last line of the first stanza and begins to an end what the saint desires to say with respect to the first passive night. At only slightly greater length, St. John of the Cross describes the passive night of the spirit, which is at once more afflictive and more painful than those which have preceded it. This, nevertheless, is the dark night par excellence, of which the saint speaks in these words: "The night which we have called that of sense may and should be called a kind of correction and restraint of the desire, rather than purgation. The reason is that all the imperfections and disorders of the sensual part have their strength and root in the spirit, where all habits, both good and bad, are brought into subjection, and thus, until these are purged, the rebellions and depravities of sense cannot be purged thoroughly."